at the end of the program yesterday, we were talking to Charlie, and he doesn't understand the ninth article, and he wanted it better explained. So that's what we're going to start off the program here. We're going to better explain it. And to better explain it, we got to look at it. Article 9 says, the enumeration in the Constitution, comma, of certain rights, comma, shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, I guess we better define some words here. What's it to enumerate something? Well, the Bill of Rights itself is an enumeration of rights in the Constitution. Let's define rights. I mean, we got to look at what a right is. A right is that to which one has a moral or legal claim as to defend one's right. And, I've said it's an authority. A right is an authority, and authority is defined as, and this is from definitions, this is from the Winston Dictionary College edition. This dictionary is older than me. I mean, that's what I use, because in the common law, you're going to use a common dictionary. I mean, these, like the Black's Law and Bouvier's, these are professionals and it's in commerce law. And I'll explain what the difference is in here in just a bit. But the definition of authority, the power or right to act or command or to demand obedience, dominium. Dominium is defined as absolute ownership and control of property. So this, when you talk about in the ninth article, when you say the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights, well, see, we can take that back to certain authorities, because a right is the power or right. If that's what an authority is. It's a power or a right. The authority. So we can call that, we can define that as the authority. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain authorities shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And when they say the others retained by the people, that tells you that it could be within the Bill of Rights. I mean, a lot of people worried back then that because they were enumerating the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, that that would be the exclusive and other rights would be removed or not recognized because they were not enumerated. But the way the Bill of Rights is put together, it's a system of law. It has maximums in it. A maximum, and you know, you always hear about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decisions are the maximums of the law. No, well, no, they're not. They are just opinions by a handful of bureaucrats who have no authority to define our Bill of Rights. They have absolutely no authority, and the ninth article is what prevents them from it. The only way these rights can be defined is through a jury of common people in a common law jurisdiction. Now, back down to the ninth article in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny. Construed means it shall not be interpreted. So the enumeration in the Constitution of certain authorities shall not be defined as to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, that's a pretty clear system. You know, what's tough about this is separating we were guaranteed as an English style of common law, and that's what the Bill of Rights is. It was written from the natural rights. It's not the Roman civil law that we're living under. And we need to, I think maybe the problem is we don't understand the difference. So I was thinking this morning, how can I, explain the difference between the English common law, which is public law for private purposes, and the Roman civil law, which is private law, private policy, rather, being enforced as public law. And I thought up and down, I said, well, man, you got to go back to the beginning where the two worlds come together in just a small way and kind of trying to define it and explain it. So I thought, back when, probably a couple hundred years ago, I mean, we're getting on into the 21st century here. Back when, so imagine a fella, he's coming down off the hill in a wagon. He's got his horses taking the wagon. He's going downhill. It's a pretty steep hill. Coming down the hill. It's a one-lane road. It's on county property. But this is a road that belongs to, it's a public road. So he's coming down that road. And up the hill comes another fella. They come around a corner and they meet. Okay, now they can't pass one another. So you would be in an impasse. Something has to give here because both need to get down the road. Both have the right to go down the damn road. Okay, so you'd look at it now. You've come up with a problem here in the public domain. This is not talking about on your property. The other person, I mean, you can say who can be on your road. And if you know you drive your wagon over a cliff, I'm going up my road, kind of deal. But out on the public road, this is where the people come in contact with one another, and this is where our rights come in contact with one another. So the man, he's coming, they stop, and we got to look at this. I mean, and we got to look at this as a people because, man, we're all using the roads. We have to come to some kind of an agreement here. Now, logic tells you, no, the fella going downhill with the heavy wagon, he can't back that wagon up. So logic would say that the fella that was coming up the hill is going to have to back down. It's just that's a law of nature. The wagon ain't going to go backwards. The other one will go backwards down the hill. So you end up, let's say you start off with, we're going to have a public law. It's an understanding in the county among all the people, and we all agree on it, that if the wagons are coming up the hill and the wagon's going down the hill, the guy that's coming up the hill is going to have to back down. We're going to make some wide spots every, eighth of a mile, what might have you, so that's not too big of a inconvenience. But that other fella, he's going to have to back his wagon down, and it's going to be your obligation to get out and watch for him, help him get that wagon out of the way so your wagon can come down the hill, and that's how it starts. Let's go on ahead in time a bit. Now we come up with the internal combustion engine. And now our roads are two-lane roads. Okay, now we're building roads. We're going to build some roads across the country. We all have the right to travel on. They belong to all of us. And we're out in the public domain. We're in complete possession of our rights. But we need a public law. Because we have to drive on opposite sides when coming at each other. We'll collide. And people will be killed. So for public safety, this is under the public welfare clause. This is what it was meant to do. Not what is being abused, in how it's being abused, but it should have been defined. It should have been, but then the people back then were smart. I mean, they were educated and they knew the law. They knew that somebody couldn't just arbitrarily piss on their rights. So you make the law, we're going to drive on the right-hand side of the road here, and it makes sense to everybody. Everybody says, yeah, we got to drive, we got to all agree that we're going to drive on the right-hand side of the road. Probably was a vote, and there's more right-handed people than left-handed people, so the right-hand side of the road win. It doesn't matter. We've agreed. This is a public law. We're going to make it a public law that we're going to drive on the right-hand side of the road. Now, if you're out and you're going around a corner and somebody comes around the corner and they're in your side of the road, they hit you, boom. Okay, now they've not only committed a civil offense against you and destroyed your property, but they committed a public crime, a civil crime that you can prosecute using that public law that was put in place. Now let's look at the Roman civil law almost in the same contents, but let's say you got an intersection. It's out in the desert and you can see 25 miles each way and there's a stop sign there. Now you roll up to that stop sign, you're rolling up, so hell, you can see 20 miles an hour, so you just roll right through that stop sign. Well, over there behind the ad sign, here's a cop sitting there. This is a local municipality, and they've made a public policy that you're going to pay a fine if you run through that thing. So there's no damage here. Nobody has been harmed. There has been no occasion for the public law to be invoked by a private person. This is a government agent. I mean, not even a government, because, a municipality is actually, it is a corporation. It's incorporated. It's an incorporated township. And so they cop onto the public law here and they say, well, in our little district here, we're going to try and raise money. We want to watch people and try to control their conduct, this is where they're stepping over the line. So they make a policy, and it would be, because they're incorporated, it would be a private policy that they're going to, find, if anybody runs a stop sign, they get a $10 fine. So you pull up to that stop sign, you're coming up to it, and you roll right through that son of a bitch, and here comes the cop, pulls you over. Can he do it? Absolutely not. Because you are guaranteed the common law. See, when you use the public law in the realm of the common law, it becomes common law. It's public law, and it's being used for a private purpose. That is common law, and you can fit it right in to the procedures and the maximums within the law. But you were denied. Hell, you might be. Some of your child might have been denied its life. This person, they negligently came around the wrong side of the road, breaking the public law, and hit you and caused you damage. Even it killed somebody. So now you have a crime, because it's a crime to kill somebody, even if it's negligent homicide. It's a lesser crime than premeditated murder, whereas if you just, you decided you wanted to kill somebody, you built your big old badass bumper, and you're driving around the corner plowing into people just for the fun of it or because it's somebody you don't like. But it becomes a crime. And that crime is prosecuted within the common law using the public law for this private purpose, because this is the difference. The private purpose is we're private in our lives within the common law. Now, what they're trying to do when the cop pulls you over, this is a public servant, supposedly a public agent of the public square that's going to pull you over and fine you $10. But he can't do it because the Bill of Rights guarantees you procedural due process. The procedural due process says you got to have an injured party. That's what the writs are about. You know, he says, well, I'm going to, you know, this is a $10. I'm writing you a 10. I'm just writing $10 you're going to pay, and I'm signing it. Well, what's the damage? Well, there is no damage. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was run off the road. So this cannot exist. You see what I'm saying here? This is what they've replaced. They've replaced the common law, which is public law for private purposes, with the Roman civil law, which is private policy being enforced as public law. They can't do it. This is what we were guaranteed they never would be able to do. And this is why, you know, even down to the municipalities, this is why the 10th Amendment, you know, it covers the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states. And if prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now it says the power is not delegated to the United States. What are those powers? Well, that is the power of the common law. This is what the people all reserve. We put in the Constitution, we said, this is what we're going to let you do. And the Bill of Rights is just, this is what you will not become a part of. You will stay away from this. You can't touch this. That's what the Ninth Article is all about. The Ninth Article says that nothing written in that Constitution, no power, no right, and they are the same thing, no authority. You cannot create an authority through an enumeration, that is, writing it into the Constitution, amending the Constitution. You cannot put things in there that can be construed to deny or disparage the rights of the people. You just can't do it. That power cannot exist. And if it cannot exist at the federal level, 10th Article says it can't exist at the state level. The state Bill of Rights has to conform with the federal Bill of Rights. And if the state Bill of Rights says you can't do it, well, you can't do it in a municipality. But this is how we've let things go. You know, they said instead of having to actually have an incident for there to be a cause for to go to court, it's like, well, you were driving on the wrong side of the road. Yeah, well, I was on a straight stretch. I could see for 50 miles. I just wanted to drive on that side of the road for a while, see what it felt like. Ain't none of your goddamn business. No one's harmed. You have no complaint. You have no damage. You have no corpus delicti. You have no property damage, and there's only two ways you can be brought into a common law court, and that's through a civil filing for a civil crime, which requires an indictment and preliminary process, to get the indictment, you have to go and you have to have an information with two affidavits attached. This is two people swearing to this this incident occurred, and those people can be held to account if they falsely swear. And so these people have to swear this that an incident occurred. You committed a crime that caused a damage, Somebody was hurt. That crime, you committed a crime. I mean, you could shoot a gun up in the air and boom, the bullet goes up and comes down. Nothing. There's no consequence. You shoot the bullet and the bullet goes over and hits somebody. Then you have a crime. You see what I'm saying? What they want to do is, it's like this, I think there was a movie that came up a while back, you know, this pre-crime thing, where this crime was going to be committed on next Wednesday, so we went and arrested the guy, and this is what they're trying to play here with this Roman civil law. They've done it all through contracts, and what they've done is they've taken the municipalities that were chartered as you know, municipalities and towns, and they've made them districts, which makes them a part of the District of Columbia, which they have made into a corporation, and the corporation's purpose is to create revenue. I mean, it's to make money. And that's why they're telling, like, this asset forfeiture. Oh yeah, we found out. They're taking people's rigs. They're not getting, there's no charges being filed, no procedural due process, but we're taking them. We just got to do it because, well, we need the money. Well, that's called strong arm robbery. And you cannot do it to an American national. Now, I'll lay it out there. I'm hoping Charlie's on there, because if there's something somebody doesn't understand about the ninth article and what it says and what it means, I'd like to hear it. Going once.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Henry. Those goddamn red light cameras are sure a pain in the ass.
They're illegal. Mark. They're illegal. See, all they could really do, the reason the stop sign's there is to remind you there's an intersection. You're required to use due diligence and safety. You know, they can't just start micromanaging your life for safety's sake. You know, they're talking about the welfare and safety of the people. Well, the welfare and the safety of the people is contingent upon the Bill of Rights, because if you're a slave, you have no rights and you have no security whatsoever if somebody owns you.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
I'm here. I just don't like my voice, so you're knocking it out of the park. Keep going.
Well, I need to know if you need me to expand on something here, Charlie. Is there something you're still not understanding? Charlie?
Yeah, it's perfect. I understand now.
Okay, awesome, man. That's what I was shooting for.